Hey everybody. Hope all have a good Shabbos. Parsha Shmini. So there's a very first of all, what happened in Parsha Shmini? So why is it called Shmini? Shmini is the eighth day of the inauguration of the Mishkan. It was actually on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, about a month ago now for us. And it was a very, very special day. There were the Gemara. The Midrash talks about 10 different crowns that that day took. You know, it was like Zochet to that day. It was the day that the Mishnah was inaugurated. It was the day that the Kohanim were taught about Tum and Tara, all these different, milas, special things that happened on that day. And for the just for the to understand what exactly is going on. So for the last 7 days before the eighth day, Moshe Rabbeinu, right, we're still like the continuation still from the end of Shmos. In the end of Shmos, Bnei Yisrael got the command to build the Mishkan, then they went and collected the stuff and they built it. And they, constructed all the Kalim and everything was, ready to go. And when they finished that and everything was set, so then Moshe Rabbeinu put it together every day, and he would put it together, and then he would take it apart at the end of the day. And the Shekhinah wasn't coming. The Shekhinah was not coming to the Mishkan. It was not descending on the Mishkan. At the end of Shmos, the final last psukim there talk about how the Shekhinah did come down. That wasn't in the beginning. So we kind of like went back in time a little bit. When the Shekhinah came down at the end of Shmos, that was actually Shmini. That was on the eighth day. That was our parsha begins with that topic. So we kind of like went back in time with Parshas Vayikra and Tzav, and now we're like catching back up to that eighth day. And again, Moshe Rabbeinu was building the Mishkan every day and taking it apart, and the Shekhinah was not coming down until finally. The our parsha, the Yom HaShmini. So then Aaron HaKohen was supposed to be inaugurated and do the avoda for the first time. Until that time, Moshe Rabbeinu was doing the avoda. He was building the Mishkan, and he himself was doing the avoda, and then dismantling the Mishkan. And again, the Shekhinah did not come from Moshe Rabbeinu. And finally, in Yom HaShmini, in our parsha, so then Aaron HaKohen was the one who was to do the avoda. And the Shekhinah did come for Aaron HaKohen. So obviously a very momentous occasion in our history. If you think about it, at this point in time, the Shekhinah came into Klal Yisrael in a way that was physically, what's the word? Physically discernible. They were mamish able to see the Shekhinah in their midst in a physical way even. And that continued all the way until the destruction of Bais Rishon, which is almost 1,000 years later. Almost 1,000 years later. It was 40 years in the Midbar, and then there was a it was several hundred years when they entered Eretz Yisrael with the Mishkan in Shiloh and in other places. The Mishkan was in Shiloh for 300 and something years, and then afterwards the Beis HaMikdash was built, and it would lasted for 400 years. So we're talking close to on 1,000 years. The Shekhinah had a palpable presence in Klal Yisrael that any time you could just go to that place in the Mishkan or in the Beis HaMikdash and mamish feel or see even some physical signs of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence in Klal Yisrael. That's an incredible, incredible thing that we can't even begin to imagine. We haven't had it in so long. But anyway, so this is really, and this is when it all starts. It all starts in our parsha, and there's a lot to talk about. The parsha is really chock full. There's so much that happens. Another one of Nevi'im happens, and just so many things happen. But just one very fascinating midrash, and actually Gemara, that is in Zvachim, where it talks about this whole situation with Aaron HaKohen. So as we know, Nadav and Avihu died. Nadav and Avihu went into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and they brought a foreign sacrifice that wasn't meant to be brought. It's a big machlokas, what exactly was their sin, and what was the whole concept of that. It's a whole big discussion. I'm not going to go into all of that right now. But what I did want to discuss is the fact that afterwards, so now Aaron HaKohen is now an Avelis. Aaron HaKohen is now sitting Shiva for his children. Not even sitting Shiva. He is what's called an Onain. An Onain is somebody who experienced a loss of one of the seven relatives for whom he has to sit Avelis for. And it's the first day of that Avelis, the first day after the person died. And there are very strict rules regarding that. Okay, nowadays we have a slightly different halachic status called Meto Muta Lefano. That's before the burial. For the burial, we don't do any mitzvahs. A person is potter from all mitzvahs because he's supposed to be focused entirely on doing the burial. And there's a lot of other, you know, discussions and, you know, things about that. But there's a din called Aninus in the Torah, which is primarily a din in Kachim. One of the things is that you're not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni in a state of Aninus. And another thing is that a Kohen who does a Voda in a state of Aninus, the Korban is Pasul. And a Kohen who is in a state of Aninus is not allowed to eat from Kachim. Okay, these are some of the halachas of Aninus. Now, every single Kohen in the world at this time was sitting Avelis because there are only three Kohanim. There were five, Nadaviv, Aaron, and Elazar and Itamar. That's it. Those are the four sons of Aaron HaKohen plus Aaron. So that makes five. And then Nadaviv died, which leaves us with three. Okay? So there were three Kohanim in the entire world. And all three of them obviously were blood relatives and direct relatives, either brother or son, to the two people, Nadaviv, who died, which means that they're all Onanim. They're all in the state of Oninus, of Onain, which means that they're not allowed to eat Kachin. And Moshe Rabbeinu came to them and told them, no, Hashem told me just now that you're allowed to eat the Kachin. You're allowed to eat this Korban, the Korban Chatas. You're allowed to eat. Okay? So, fine, they sat down, they started eating. Moshe Rabbeinu comes back afterwards and he sees that there's a Korban Chatas burning. There's a Korban Chatas burning. Now, without getting into all the details, there were three different Korban Chatas brought on that day. Okay, for those of you that know the Parsha of the Nesiim, if you recall on Hanukkah every day, we read a different section of the Nesiim, what the Nesiim brought. That was in the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. That's all the way in Sefer Bamidbar. And when that is beginnings to talk about the first, on the first day, it's Nachshon Ben Aminadav's Korban, that's this day, that's Yom HaShmini, that's the beginning of our Parsha. So again, the guitar goes back in time over there. That's in Parshas Natso. So there was his korban that he was Nachshon Ben Aminadav's korban that he was bringing to inaugurate the Mishkan, and it was on the inauguration of the Mishkan, and it was also Rosh Chodesh because it was, like I said before, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So there were three, and on Rosh Chodesh we bring a chatas. So there were three chatases that were being brought on that day. Moshe Rabbeinu told them to eat the chatas. Moshe Rabbeinu comes back afterwards and he sees that there's a chatas burning. They're burning a chatas. And so Moshe Rabbeinu is very upset. He gets very angry and he says, why are you burning the chatas? And the Torah gives us a little bit of what the conversation was there, and then the Gemara in Zvachim gives us a little bit more without getting into all the details of it. The bottom line is that Aaron Cohen tells Moshe Rabbeinu that the command that Moshe got was probably, he doesn't know this, Aaron, because he didn't hear it. It was Moshe who heard it. But he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, he reasoned it out, and he said, Moshe, you probably only got a command for us to eat the Korban Chatas of the one-time offering of the inauguration of the Mishkan. But the Rosh Chodesh Chatas, which is a Chatas which is forever, it's a chatas that's going to be brought every Rosh Chodesh for, you know, until the basement is destroyed. That is what's called Kache Doros. That is a different halacha. And that probably Hashem did not tell you that we should eat it. And since we're the only Kohanim and we're not allowed to eat Kachim in a state of Tumah, so there was nothing to do except to burn it. But we had to burn it. And Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron the Kohen tells him a Kal V'Chomer. Again, without getting into all the details of it, but he tells him the Kal V'Chomer, and Moshe Rabbeinu hears the Kal V'Chomer, and he says, you know what? You're right. It sounds good to me. It sounds like you reasoned it out well, and that is correct. That seems to be correct. Okay? In the language of the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Miyad Vaishma, Moshe immediately upon hearing the Kal V'chomer that Aaron HaKohen made, Moshe Rabbeinu heard it, the Tav Beinav, and it was good in his eyes. Hoido V'lo Bosh. He admitted it and he was not embarrassed. Lomar Lo Shamati, to say that he didn't hear it. Ella Amar, rather, he said, Shamati V'shacharti. I heard it and I forgot. Okay, so that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Aaron HaKohen tells him, again, maybe the reasoning that you, maybe the command that Hashem told you was in the following manner and not the way you said it. And Moshe Rabbeinu, and he uses a Kal V'chomer to prove it. And Moshe Rabbeinu concedes the point and says, you're right. And I had heard it, but I had forgotten that detail. Okay. So first of all, okay, the Midrash points it out already. The Gemara points it out already that Moshe Rabbeinu said he was not embarrassed. He was not embarrassed, but he rather admitted it. He admitted that Aaron HaKohen, you know, so to speak, one-upped him. Aaron HaKohen beat him in this Torah debate over here. And, you know, maybe on our, you know, at first glance, maybe we think, okay, obviously he's going to admit it. Why wouldn't I? But you know what? I mean, that's pretty crazy because we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who gave us the Torah. He's the one who gave us the Torah. And he is the leader of Klal Yisrael. And his brother, albeit, you know, his older brother, but his brother is coming out and rejecting him, you know, with a svara. And that's pretty fantastic. That's pretty incredible. And Moshe Rabbeinu is like, just like, yes, you know, you're right. And he just admits to it. And he wasn't embarrassed. And that's a pretty incredible, it's a pretty difficult thing. A lot of times people that are in leadership positions, you know, there's a certain aura, there's a certain vibe that they're trying to give over. It's a certain role that they're playing. And in order to play that role, part of it is to, you know, be able to say, you know, you have to take leadership. You need to say, okay, this is what we're doing and we're going to do it like this and we're going to do it like, you know, make a plan and fill that plan. And it's not so simple because you have to have that confidence. And when you are acting in that way, it's sometimes hard to admit when you are in the wrong. But Moshe Rabbeinu did not flinch when the situation arose, and he went ahead and he admitted it. And you know, this is obviously something that's very important for us to take in, you know, take into account. And we've always spoken about this in our shir, which is the three most important words. Three most important words when we're learning is I don't know. I don't know, because without those three words, we cannot learn. We cannot learn if we think we know everything. If we think we know everything, we're never going to be able to learn. So the three most important words in learning are I don't know, and Moshe Rabbeinu shows that over here with Aaron HaKohen. I just wanted to point out one more thing, which is a nice idea that I saw, which is that Aaron HaKohen in the Zohar is representative of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Torah Shebichtav, and Aaron is the Torah Sheba'al Peh. And it's fascinating, it's brought down in the Zohar, and it's fascinating that over here, Aaron HaKohen beats Moshe Rabbeinu, but how does he beat him? He beats him with a Kal V'chomer. Kal V'chomer is Torah Sheba'al Peh realm. And, you know, I think that in for anybody who's learned, even, you know, even a little bit of Gemara, knows that the Torah Sheba'al Peh always beats, quote-unquote, the Torah Shebichtav. The Torah Shebichtav says you get 40 Malkos, but the Torah Sheba'al Peh says 39, and that's what we do. We do 39, and etc. And a million and one examples. Every daf of Gemara basically quotes a pasuk, and the Gemara says, "Well, that's not what the pasuk means." Or the pasuk is only talking about this. Or the pasuk means really that. And you know, it's like all over, you know, the Gemara, the Torah Sheba'al Peh, but it really is though. It's not beating the Torah Shebichtav. It's not a fight. This is what you can learn from this. We cannot have Torah Shebichtav without Torah Sheba'al Peh. It just does not exist. It does not exist. There's a lot to go into with this, but just what we're trying to get across here, you can't have a Torah Shebichtav without a Torah Sheba'al Peh. There is no pshat. There's no pshat in Torah Shebichtav without Torah Sheba'al Peh. And it's something important that we need to remember, that we have to look at the Torah with the eyes of Chazal. Chazal are guiding us always in terms of how we understand Torah. and to not take psukim as the quote unquote the pashup shot, and the pasuk is it doesn't exist like we just said. You have to take what Chazal say, okay, and Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue to learn Torah. I can't wait to see you guys. Those of you that are coming, Bezrat Hashem, already next week. I'm very much excited to see you. And that's it. Have a great Shabbos. Love you all, and see you soon.